Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is Thursday, September 16th. Hope it's going well for you all folks out there in Memphis. Got a lot to get to today, including Thursday night football tonight. We're back. No way probably can top what we saw last Thursday night, can it? I don't think so with the way the NFL season kicked off, obviously, last week. But, again, Washington football team and Giants, there are some things to take away. Heck, it's week two of the NFL. Who doesn't like that? You saw, too, John Martin, our man John Calipari sort of responding, right? Landed Chris Livingston, who Memphis had been out on, what, since last month at some point. Mm-hmm. Wasn't in on him anymore, but... looking to be setting up Kentucky is and Cal is to potentially have the number one class in the class of 2022. So at some point we will get to that. And let me tell you, I don't know if you remember this movie, John, if you had the if you got to see it, but the great Pat Morita, to others you'll recognize that Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid, he would do this thing, John, where he put those hands together and he'd start rubbing, and when you do that you create a great heat. And that's what I've envisioned for you, for Patty Pump, that you've been doing that all week. You've been rubbing those hands together. You've been creating that heat, and we're about to get some fire at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. Week one was a disaster for all of us. Underdogs were 12-4. It was one of their best weeks ever. Dogs were barking.
Warm it up.
Which means we're going to get a reversion to the mean this weekend. I think order is going to be restored in week two of the NFL. So, as usual, we got six picks for you at 1 o'clock, and we will go over those. I've identified six winners that I'm going to pass along to you so you can make some money this weekend. It's always good to make some money while you're off the clock. So we'll do that at 1 o'clock. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about a number of things. Kyrie Irving threatening to retire through Nick Wright. You know, it's interesting. This is sort of random, but it's something that's bothered me, so I'm just going to bring it up here. Nick Wright is a LeBron guy.
Oh, that's
for something. We know that, right? Yeah. Like, unapologetically so.
One of the most LeBron media guys.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe the most.
Well, it's come to my attention that Nick Wright is represented by Rich Paul.
Well, when did that happen?
It happened in the last year, I think.
Well, he's been on LeBron for longer than that, but maybe that's what helped.
Yes. Oh, I think that's definitely, you know, but.
Yeah, he's been on LeBron.
I don't know. It feels very conflict of interest-y to me. You know, like of any clutch client.
How many media folks does Rich Paul have?
I don't think I can't imagine they have many.
That's the natural question I'm left with when you tell me that news. I had no idea.
So it just bothers me.
Rich Paul has Nick Wright.
It just kind of bothers me a little bit. Like, you know, like, kind of icky. Like, you know, should you really be represented by an agency that represents players that you talk about? I don't know.
The interesting thing about Rich Paul, dating Adele.
Yes, he is. He is dating Adele.
Adele, they're dating.
You are shocked.
I was surprised.
I think Rich Paul can date anybody he wants to.
Yeah. No, she can date anybody she wants to.
He's graduated to that level.
Yeah.
Where he can just pull anything in. Adele, a fine find.
Yeah. Right?
Good find. I wonder if he represents her as well.
Wonder if he's representing Adele now.
Would be wise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just something that I learned, and it just kind of, you know, it gives me a weird feeling that's not neither here nor there. But Brian Scalabrine will join us, and we'll talk to him about Kyrie Irving. Other things, Stephen Adams spoke for the first time since joining the Grizzlies organization.
He speaks, and we think we're going to love it.
Well, yeah, like you are gonna like everybody's gonna
love
him. Everybody's gonna like, 'cause he's a funny
Anytime
guy.
You throw in a few bloodies, you know, and you kind of get the funny guy thing with the bloody thing,
well,
you know,
most guys
not
know,
bad there, BC.
Thank you
from that region, you know. Is he New Zealand? He's New Zealand, right?
I
want to say he is. Mm-hmm. Most guys like they have like that dry wit, you know, with the accent. It's pretty funny, you know, and so I do think we'll like his personality. I'm a little less bullish on his performance on the court. Than some people around here.
He's going to rebound set picks.
Yeah.
Which is what you need from him.
Yeah. It's just
frankly,
gonna,
it needs to be on Jaren down there.
But I'm just not sold on this sort of career, reinvigoration that some people are holding out hope for Steven Adams. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think we're at that point in his career for a reinvigoration.
But anyway, we'll talk to Brian Scalabrine about all of that at 11:25. 1:25, Jeff Kalkin is going to hop on the show. He saw a rocket launch.
It was the most amazing thing he's ever seen.
He asked Jeffrey Wright. I was listening to his show yesterday. He said, Jeffrey, have you ever seen a rocket launch? Is that something that people just see? Like, who does? No, of course I haven't seen a rocket launch.
Right.
I went to Cape Canaveral last week. It was awesome. No, nobody ever sees those.
It's just Calkins' way of telling us all that he's seen more than we have.
Yes.
Many Olympics, many Super Bowls, and now a rocket in person.
I do imagine that's got it. Like he tweeted it was nerve-wracking.
He's a very lucky man to have covered all that. I'll be real honest with you.
The Olympics.
Makes us jealous as hell.
Yes.
Yeah, dude, he's covered like 16 Olympics.
Super
Bowls.
It's amazing.
Yes.
He's done it all.
32 Super Bowls, I think he has. And now one rocket launch that he could feel in his chest.
I'll be honest, like, how can you not, when you're watching a rocket launch, like, have that thought, like, oh, my God, I hope this goes right, you know? He said it was nerve-wracking.
I think that's all you're hoping.
Yeah. And it did go right. It did go well.
Praise
so
God.
We'll talk to Jeff Calkins about all of that at 1:25. The Tigers are a SpaceX rocket, all right?
So are the Cardinals, apparently.
Yes, they are.
No, we'll get to that later. No,
but that comes crashing down very soon.
They still got a little bit of a road to hoe. It's not done.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm watching you. You got your St. Louis hat on in there.
Tatis going to have something to say.
Hey, this is a big one.
Yes,
this
it is.
And this is your adopted team, the Padres. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on, BC. We're watching you.
Yes. The University of Memphis basketball program right now is a SpaceX rocket.
I like that.
Typically, those Elon Musk, like he's very successful with these rockets. Penny is Elon Musk in this situation. He has built this rocket ship at Memphis. And in advance of the season getting underway, we talked yesterday about bracketology, the latest bracketology that Joe Lunardi put out. Memphis is a 2 seed. Today, a couple different pieces on the University of Memphis basketball team that we wanted to share with you. We've already talked about anonymous coaches because I did that, quite frankly, a month ago. But now Jeff Borzello has done it. He has seen just the massive success that stuff like that has, and he has done the same thing. And you know, it's not really earth-shattering stuff, but I do think it confirms what we feel like we know about Memphis.
You need to forward it to Mark, to Giannato, who's a little down on
this. Fairness, in fairness, Mark did text me this morning, and he did sort of fall on his sword. He said, I probably was a little off base yesterday with the way I was thinking about the University of Memphis. Because Houston, he pointed out Houston lost to East Carolina. They went, you know, whatever it was, 27-4, 28-4, something like that, and they still got a 2 seed. Now, I would also...
It was 3 losses. But
yeah, I would also respond to that and say... It was a COVID year, and everybody didn't play an out-of-conference schedule, and so that's going to change. Would they have been a 2 seed in a normal year? I don't know. It's hard to say. But
mine was that I think you're extremely disappointed if you're a 6 seed. If that happens for this team, again, a team that looks clear-cut and the hype's building. We'll get to these stories, but that clearly looks like it's going to go in as a top-10 team. That would represent sort of a step back to me a season that somehow went awry. If you're down there at that point, I mean, if you're a 6, did you even win the conference this year? I don't know that you did.
Yeah, no, you definitely did not. I mean, unequivocally, you did not win their conference.
This should
if you were
be,
a 6 seed.
You know, this should be 2 to 3 seed territory for a team this talented.
Well, yeah. So a couple things that these coaches say. Quote: It just takes them a while to get the defense really humming. Penny does not get the credit he deserves for how well those kids played defensively. They play hard. They play organized. They play a certain brand of defense. Another coach adds, offensively, they just haven't been great. They have guys doing NBA stuff just trying to make plays. They have average shot selection. They have guys doing things that aren't their strengths. I'm sure Larry Brown will help with this, but offensively, they get a little bit ISO heavy and don't play to their strengths. Then the other issue has been turnovers. They cough it up trying to make home run plays. I mean, if you've been watching Memphis basketball, I don't think there's anybody that would deny any of those things that have already been said.
No, and the point, I mean, so many of those turnovers unforced. It was something we were harping on last year. There is no, you know, basically no excuse to be this bad, this careless with it, again, in a position where you don't have to be. They phrase it as, you know, trying to make home run plays when you didn't have to. The simple will get you by, and the simple incompetent will, you know, in this case, have you probably elite this season. Just don't mess it up. You know, don't be as careless with it as you were last season. No, and I think there was one more coach, AAC coach, that was much more complimentary defensively. I know they said it takes them a while. Mm-hmm. They've been elite defensively. They're a pain in the you-know-what to play against. They make the game difficult. They don't let you run your offense. They take you out of what you want to do. They're going to force other guys on your roster to make plays, so you better have multiple guys that can make plays and finish plays. They'll take your best player out of a ball screen. Did a ton of that last year. Talked about it. Tyson Etienne, basically whoever you decided to put Lester Quinones on, they make your offense messy. That to me is why this field Penny has earned that benefit of the doubt from coaches, that maybe when this started and he started, it was, can he coach?
Yep.
We know he can get talent, but can he coach? And we've continued to make the point, and I think these coaches echo that when you can get the level of players that Penny Hardaway has, talent-wise, to buy in defensively. One of these coaches later on mentions that when it comes to Monty Bates. Buy in defensively, play as hard as they do, that means you can coach. And again, you've only upgraded what's around you on the coaching staff.
Yep. Jeff asked, how do Bates and Duren fit in and rectify those issues? One coach said, I think Duren fits really well. They lost Musa Cisse, and the way they play defense, trapping and making you scramble. They needed rim protection and size at the rim. You get trapped, you have to reverse and go make a play. The problem is you were shooting over Precious or Cisse, and now it's Duren. That was a huge, huge key for their defense. He's a massive piece for them. On Imani Bates, this is what one coach said. Bates' IQ is pretty
high. I think this is important. I'm glad you're reading this one.
High IQ dudes can defend, especially with the way Memphis does it. It's not always black and white. They empower their kids to play free and play aggressive within a framework and a concept. If he's dribbling too close to the sideline, go get him. Bates will be good at that. He's got an IQ. He's got a feel. It'll be interesting to see where the motor is. Does he have a defensive motor? I don't know. That's going to be the question.
I liked what they said about him, and we've all talked about it. He's not a defender. But, again, you are going to be forced to when you come into a program that's got an identity defensive one like Memphis has, and this is not when they talk about that IQ,
yep,
he's going to know the importance of it.
Yep.
That's the thing about it. And so I think with him, more so than, hey, can you be a great defender, it's going to be, can you be efficient offensively in a flow, right? That's the thing I'm more concerned about with Imani Bates than his defense. Memphis, as a team, defends well, and Penny, for whatever reason, has been able to get these guys to buy in. That's such a key. It's effort. Mm-hmm. On the defensive end more than anything.
Offensively, I mean, I think the raving came on Imani Bates, and this is what one coach said on Imani. Bates is effortlessly talented on offense. Three-level scorer. It comes really, really easy to him. He's got some Durant-type stuff in that he's such a good ball handler, and the base of his game is making pull-up jumpers. When he's rocking and rolling, he's getting to spots off one or two bounces. Catch and shoot threes is something he brings. His ability to get to the rim is something he brings. But his deal is getting to sweet spots off one and two bounce pull-ups. Duren is a physical marvel. Big-time offensive rebounder. Big-time rim runner. One-on-one, he's a guy that just knows how to get the ball in the basket. He might have a little harder adjustment in college just because he's going to see double teams. He's going to see a lot of different coverages and things, and he's going to be playing against older guys. And that's exactly what we've been talking to you about on the show. I mean, we told you this about Duren. Like, he's going to struggle to score the ball, at least in the early goings, but offensively, especially on the glass, he's going to make an immediate impact.
If Duren draws double teams, folks are in trouble. You realize that?
Well, how do you not draw a double team if you're him, though, because he's such a load inside?
Well, it's going to be hard to double anybody on this team because here's the key. You double Duren, DeAndre Williams is cutting to that bucket. That's an easy one if that's who you're going to do it with, another mm-hmm. post. If it's not off DeAndre Williams' guy and it's off one of your corner shooters, that's why I've talked about having Nollie and Lester Quinones on the floor together, what's a starting lineup or whatever. spacing that floor and having those shooters in the corner, if Durin's getting doubled, those one of those spots is going to be wide open if it's not DeAndre's guy. And so the point is you're going to be – I put it this way. You'll be playing into Memphis's hands if Durin is good enough inside. And it, I mean, like we talked about, the guy mentions physical marvel. If he's enough of a threat inside that he's drawing doubles, it's going to make the game easy, so easy for other guys. And, again, that's the benefit Memphis has is who you're going to – if you decide to double, you're going to leave somebody pretty talented or somebody that can knock down an open shot, an open three, you're going to leave them open. You're going to leave them with a chance to kill you. So, you know, pick your poison.
Yeah. Then Jeff Borzello asked about Amani Bates as a point guard. And I think, like all of us, there was like a natural layer of skepticism on just how that experiment is going to go. This is what one coach said. They run a lot of their stuff through the pinch posts. All they really need is an entry pass. They get moving and cutting. They're good at it. They're really good at it. That's not a hard sell for them. With what they do, it's a Chris Paul type of offense. Sometimes people think point guard. They think one guy with a tremendously high usage rate feeding everybody else. When they were really good late in the year last year, when their offensive numbers were good, they let their forwards make a lot of decisions. DeAndre Williams, Malcolm Dandridge, they empowered a lot of those guys to make plays as passers. Another coach added, Amani was not a point guard in the settings that I saw. I would need to see him more in a point guard setting. I think people have to sort of strip what they, you know, conventionally think of as a point guard. He is not going to be that. He is not going to be John Stockton, but he's going to initiate the offense a lot of times, and they're basically just going to give him the ball and say, go make a play. That's what they'll do.
No, and if he's not able to, DeAndre Williams, when you toss it in, will. Again, we talked about that, and this coach does. He is that secondary player maker for you. Had over 70 assists last season as that on your team inside. You throw it to him in the high post. You allow DeAndre Williams, very mature, obviously, to make those decisions. Again, if Bates can't pull it off, you know, off the dribble, make the easy play, your secondary playmaker, those posts, will do it for you. So, okay, Bates doesn't have to go be John Stockton or all of a sudden he's Penny Hardaway up top. Just be a guy that can initiate offense. They're going to have several of those guys.
Yeah, and then finally, of course, the natural question is, how do you get it all together? Can they do it? One coach said, Penny does a great job and Larry Brown is as good as it gets. I know how much of a stickler he is with sharing the ball, moving the ball, making the extra pass, changing sides of the floor. If he can get those guys to buy in, they're going to be really, really, really good. If they can get on the same page, and I'm sure they can, it's a little easier when you have Penny and Larry Brown and Rasheed Wallace telling you to do it. If anyone can get it done, it's that group. And that's kind of the gist of it. Most of this stuff we've talked about on the show or done ourselves, but it does show you that nationally – there really seems to be a consensus about Memphis. Like, there's not a. I feel like if you would have gone around the country and asked coaches about that 2019 team with James Wiseman, you would have got a whole ass spectrum of answers.
Well, you did. It was that now they got to go. You know, he's got to coach them up.
Right.
We got to see it. They got to come together. They're young. There's going to be an adjustment. That's what you were getting then. Nobody knew. You know, you didn't know much about Penny's style of coaching. You'd only seen him for 1 year in a transition year.
Yes. Now there really is.
There's buy-in on Memphis when it comes to this national media.
Well, and there's a floor, right? There's a floor. This is
100%.
And that floor to me is top four seed. I mean, that's what it's got to be. And I think the ceiling could be as high as a one. I mean, I could certainly see a scenario where Memphis is a number one seed. I mean, they've got the schedule to do it. They've got the talent to do it. You know, if you do find a way to beat Alabama and Tennessee, not going to be easy. Wouldn't predict that. But if you do that and take care of business everywhere else, I'll give you a loss or two in conference, you know, Houston, whatever, you get picked off somewhere else. But if you finish the season, what was it, 31 games in the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
If you finish, 29-2, even 28-3 with a nice run in the American, if you just destroy it, it's going to be close. To me, depending on who you lost to and who you beat,
they're talented enough to beat both Tennessee and Alabama. We both said though yesterday that'd be tough to do.
Very tough.
That'd be the toughest thing probably on your schedule. I bottom line it this way: we said when they got, you know, Jalen Duren and Imani Bates, that you become one of the stories in college basketball. There's Gonzaga, who national media loves, always does, and Yeah, I suppose rightfully so with the talent they have, but
Timmy
they need a breakthrough too at some point for all the hype they get. You feel me on that? But set that to the side.
I would take what they do every single year.
Sure they do, but few needs to win one too. They get crowned before they've been crowned now the last 2 years before the season every time.
If you get there enough, you're probably going to.
They let down. Last year was a letdown against Baylor. I'm not going to argue with you about Gonzaga. They're going to be one of the stories again.
I would trade that. I would trade that for like the recent history of Memphis basketball. I would trade the last.
Would you trade it for what Memphis can do this season?
I mean, if they get to a championship game.
Saying for Memphis's potential, you would take it, just be done.
I mean, I wouldn't just take a loss in the championship game. I'm just saying historically.
Set it to the side. My point, we said when they got those guys, when Penny jacked it up getting Jalen Duren and Imani Bates, you would be one of the stories in college basketball, right there with Gonzaga, right there with Duke and Coach K's finale here. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what's happening. You are the front page story right now on ESPN on their college basketball page.
Yep.
You're getting dissected
yep.
in terms of what could be the issues, what are the strengths, what could be the weaknesses. Let's break down all of these highlights. You're getting what we said was going to happen. You are one of these stories. And so, like we said yesterday, you know, there can be no excuses at this point. You've jacked up the expectations even higher than coming off the NIT. You had Earl Timberlake, right? You're looking pretty good there, but you absolutely you mashed that pedal to 100 miles per hour when you added Monty and Jalen Duren. You become the story, one of the top three stories in college basketball, and that's what's happening. You know, you don't see this breakdown of Gonzaga's roster, right? It's Penny Hardaway this year with the rest of the nation looking at him and saying this should be the breakthrough one that you've got that's got a chance to start as one of these stories, and with all that talent and with this mix, coaching staff, the experience to end up. Finish the season as the story. It's all happening right here. You wanted it. This is it, right? You should be excited about it.
Absolutely.
Embrace it.
And then
I don't think people can get enough of it at this point.
Real quick, Seth Davis has a piece up at The Athletic about the 25 players in the country that have sort of the most to prove. And as you might expect, the majority of these players are older, right? Like Johnny Juzang is number one. Although I thought – you know, he proved himself last year, getting to the Final Four. I thought that was enough.
He did, but he wasn't going to go high enough. Had a chance to be. He got a chance to come back and be a lottery pick, possibly.
There's only, as far as I can tell, one freshman on this list.
Oh, really?
And his name is Imani Bates.
It's funny how Rothstein and Seth did list here the last couple of days. Got him the lowest in their preseason polls.
And this is what Seth Davis writes about Imani Bates. And I agree with him. I do think Imani Bates he's got the heat lamp on him. You know, a lot of people are expecting a lot of things from him. It has been suggested that the public and media are putting too much pressure on Bates, but he doesn't seem to have much desire to fly under anybody's radar. His decision to reclassify and join Penny Hardaway's program is a big risk, considering he won't turn 18 until January 28th. He clearly has the potential to be a high-impact player, but he'll also be facing a level of competition far higher than anything he has faced to this point. And everyone will be watching very closely to see if he can play up to his hype. I see what he's saying, but this young man has been groomed to be a professional far before right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been working out with pros, man. He's been working out with Carmelo. He's been working out with all these professional players already. You know, this is not going to be some shell shock to him. Is the competition going to be tougher than Ipsy or Yipsy or whatever the hell you want to call it?
Ipsy, of course. Please.
But it's not like this is going to be some surprise to Imani Bates.
No.
And the same goes for Jalen Duren. So I agree with Seth that it's going to be a year of a proving ground of sorts for Imani. But I'm not real worried about his ability to adjust to it because of his scoring ability. Nobody's going to be able to stop him at that size, with that length, with his shot-making ability. It's going to be fun to watch, so buckle up, man. The reviews continue to come in on Memphis basketball. ESPN and The Athletic today certainly seems like they are one of the premier stories in college basketball.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back, Brian Scalabrine is going to join us. We'll talk to him about Kyrie Irving, about Steve Adams' fit with the Grizzlies now that he's here. All that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
What to do? Show me something. That's another set, cause I be running through it. I set up the play, I'ma make a move. Audible. It's gonna be a blitz if I run into you. Go.
When the plug kick off the bomb, run it.
He is the great Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com to day. Scal, what's good, brother?
Things are good. We're getting closer to the NBA season. I'm pumped about it. I know you guys are too.
I mean, but like,
yes.
Isn't there like a, I feel like we have not had at all a break, which is fine. Like,
I agree.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, it's also good to miss something. And in the last year and a half, 2 years, it does feel like, you remember when, You remember because I'm sure you. I think you were still in the league, but the whole lockout and the basketball never stops thing, like that's actually what we're experiencing. Basketball legitimately does never stop now.
But I agree with you in the sense that the September being off and like and then things are going to start ramping up again. It's like we're excited about getting back to normal. Basketball should finish right around June 20th. Basketball should start, you know, right around mid-October, and you can kind of, like, keep gearing up until, like, the football season's over, and then it goes full tilt. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like with this thing, it's like I'm ready to sort of start analyzing, speculating who's going to be good, who's not, what teams are going to, you know, be a mess or train wreck and all that stuff, and just seeing the games.
So the news in Memphis last week is that they traded for Marc Gasol, obviously from the LA Lakers, they immediately waived them. And I guess they're going to allow him to remain in Spain and figure that out, from that side. But I guess all intents and purposes retire as a Grizzly if that is the way he chooses to go. What do you sort of make of Mark's career? He at one point it felt like he was, you know, the best center, one of the two, three best centers in the NBA. Like, what do you make of, I mean, as a second round guy, it was once a throw-in for the Grizzlies, the career he made for himself in the NBA?
So the things I always will remember were him and Mike Conley in their two-man game in the fourth quarter has always been spectacular. Defensively, when he won that Defensive Player of the Year, just how good he was with his position. You know, I know the game has changed a lot. Like, versatility is so much more important than what it was back then. But, like, I always had the utmost respect for Marc Gasol. Even if I say things like, he can't guard anymore and he can't move his feet. And we knew that when he was in Toronto and the year after they won the title. It's like, man, you know, the game is changing. It's changing quick and it's hard for him to keep up. You can't take away from what he did. You can't take away from how good he was, you know, at the time. And, if you want to start getting into the Hall of Fame stuff, I'm sure he'll be a Hall of Fame player from the minimum the European side, because he was a really impactful player in the NBA and really good player.
So that's a question I'd natural follow up. I was going to ask you about that, Naismith. Do he and Powell both get it? Do they get in as brothers when you add in especially the international stuff?
Yeah, I think okay. So. And you think,
I think that's right.
The key is the international stuff, that,
right?
That, you know, and both guys are really successful. You know, in the NBA, both guys won a championship. You know, it's not like when I won the championship, 12th man or whatever it is. Like, these guys really had a huge impact on everything. So, yeah, I think they're no-brainers, Hall of Fame type of players.
What does Houston do with John Wall? You think anybody's taking him with all that money he's owed at this point in his career? They're going to have to sit on that fat contract.
Yeah, I don't really understand why you make that decision right now. You know, like, who's to say that, okay, listen, we know John Wall had a bunch of injuries. He comes back. You know, he wasn't an impactful player when it comes to winning. But, you know, who's to say that he can't come back and show the NBA that he can hoop? And why not Houston, you know, give him a chance? Maybe it's like you're trying to create space for your younger players.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's,
I'm not sitting on $92 million. I'm trying to let him showcase himself and at least see if I could trade for somebody. But
right.
In the NBA right now, like, that contract's untradeable. So I think ultimately he'll go throughout the season. He'll have to give up a buyout. He should have thought about all this before, because he could have got into free agency and did what Kemba Walker did. Like, you think Kemba Walker went to Oklahoma City and then he gave up $20 million,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he got back $16 million. You know, there's no money out there right now. No one has any money to sign a free agent. So John Wall, if he was going to play, he's going to play for a minimum. So that's it's just a bad time to do this buyout. If you're going to do it, you should have done it. You know, my opinion, should have done it before free agency if they knew this is what they were going to do.
The Rockets are saying, and who knows if it's leverage or whatever the case may be, but the Rockets are saying they're not even going to consider buying him out until next summer. I mean, so what's the end game? I mean, is John Wall really? I mean, you already got one star player in Houston.
It's gonna be like Kevin Love
sitting out, right? And Deshaun Watson. You're gonna have two disgruntled. You know, I don't know. John Wall still technically a star player, not as effective as he used to be. But are you gonna really have John Wall just sitting out for the entire year?
I know, it's the worst part about the NBA. It really is. And you know, I figured it out the other day. Since John Wall got hurt, like the time he had his injury, he's made $3 million every time he plays a game. He's just played 40 games. I know. It's
mercy.
Like, wow. And so this year he's going to make another, you know, 46. And then with that 46, he's probably not going to play many games at all. So it's just one of those situations where, like, the Supermax contract came about when Kevin Durant left the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're saying, well, what do we do about these all NBA type of guys, like these elite players? What do we do about them? Well, let's create this Supermax. So if you stay with your team, you can sign for this amount. But the Supermax backfired in this situation. So John Wall was going into the last year of his contract. For whatever reason, he made an all NBA team, and he signed for $200 million at that point. So he's got 6 years on this deal, and he hasn't really lived up to the contract. But the worst part is when a team is rebuilding and now John Wall is not going to be around, not playing. It's just a bad look knowing that a guy is making, you know, $46 million and not playing basketball.
Yeah, just go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
A couple of years ago, Portland's in the Western Conference Finals. Now, they come up short, but they think they're close, right, and they go all in. And you look now, ESPN this year has got them projected to be around right around the Grizzlies, you know, a play-in status around that tier, 43 and 39 in the regular season. Isn't it inevitable that they're going to have to push the button and whatever that looks like, whether it's Dame in a blockbuster or CJ, you know, retooling, whatever, that's got to happen, Scal? Or can they get back to where they were the way they're currently constructed? It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, so I think what you're seeing is, well, Chauncey Billups is there, and we've seen it a lot. Like, a new coach comes in, and whoever projects the win total, sometimes it's worse than it is, and sometimes it's much better, right? So I guess what they're looking at is, you know, like, when Chauncey played, he was successful, and so was Rip Hamilton. And so, like, the key is, and I, if you watch Portland play, it's always like CJ McCollum, 36 points, Damian Lillard, 4 for 19. Damian Lillard, 52 points, CJ McCollum, 2 for 16.
Yeah.
Like, why can't, like, when I watch Stephen Clay play, like, both those guys are killing. And they might have, like, Steph might kill in the first and Clay kills in the second. What is the deal with those two guys? And I'm more particularly talking about the playoffs.
How come those guys can't play not good on the same night in the playoffs? You remember when Dame was hitting all those shots against Denver?
Mm-hmm.
I think CJ McCollum was like 3 for 20 that game. So, like,
yeah.
I don't get it. Like, do those guys, is it like negative that when the other guy's going off, they have like a sour, like, I don't understand why it's not, all right, you kill and I'm going to kill. It's two players. Now, I'm not saying four players got to be out there dominating, but
right.
Those guys, just for whatever reason in the playoffs, you hardly ever, now, remember, you have to win four games. So they might have a good game, or maybe in a series they might have one good game. That's
right.
Not enough when you're trying to win it all and trying to be a championship-level team. So C.J. McCollum has to live up to his end of the bargain, and so does Dame Lillard. Like, when C.J. McCollum is going off, Dame has to be better too. So that's where they're probably hoping that Chauncey Billups can get those guys on the same page, playing good basketball on – you only got to do it four times in the playoff series. So hopefully that's what they're kind of hoping on.
So I'm with you. And I know that's what they're hoping on with Chauncey, getting them on the same page. You're right. It often happens like that. But isn't their biggest problem, Scott, is those two don't help you when it comes to stopping on the – they don't stop anybody, like, on the other end the way they're constructed. I don't know that Chauncey can help that, can he? You know, the defensive end with them. So,
100%. But I'm like, I don't think that they'll ever be that. So I'm just looking at the other side of the
ball.
No,
I'm with you.
You know, I'm like –
yeah.
I'm not gonna preach on the defensive side. Like, I get it, man. You got to have guys that can lock up. I understand all that, but I would just say, like, I don't understand. Even if CJ McCollum was like 7 for 15, that would do. That will do. You just can't be 3 for 21. If that makes a lot of sense, right? You can't. You got to do more than that when Dame has 50, and then vice versa as well. I'm not putting Dame Lillard off the hook on this one either. Like, he has his fair share of bad shooting nights when CJ goes off. So I'm just saying, like, those guys, they're never going to stop people, but they do have a lot. I like their team. Like, I like Norman Powell, Robert Covington. I like Nurkic. So I like their team, but those two, your two best players, your two best offensive players can't be off on any given playoff series. Both those guys got to be rolling to win a series.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA insider, the White Mamba here on the show, joining us every single Thursday throughout the season. Over on ESPN.com, Scal, there's they usually will do this. They'll poll a bunch of people around the NBA, executives, coaches, whatever. And in the who will win most improved player category, the Memphis Grizzlies own the most share of the vote, because Jaren Jackson Jr. got 11% of the first place votes. And then Ja Morant also got 11% of the first place votes. Is that an award that you think Jaren or Ja? I mean, it's going to be tough for Ja to win that award, right? Because if he improves upon what he did last year, would he not be in the conversation for MVP? Like, MIP feels like a little beneath him. What do you make of Jaren and Ja being up for that?
Yeah, I do think it's prime for Jaren Jackson Jr. because, as you know, from day one, I've always told you guys how much I like him as a player, and he just had I know it was the injuries, rhythm, whatever the reason last year that he did not play up to what I would consider like that all-star level. Like, I think he's like the future big man. You have a big man that can shoot the three. He could play the five if you need him at times. He could play the four. Like, it's like he should be, and the team around him with the guards, and he should really take that step forward. But no, I mean, I think with Ja, it's like, I think there is room to take that step. I mean, Giannis, not to say like he's going to win the MVP, but like, if Ja has a really good year and the Memphis Grizzlies have a good year, Ja's in the conversation. Which, like, this year, like, just use, like, it's a good example, Julius Randle. Julius Randle was top, I mean, I thought he should have been top five MVP vote getter because he was really good for the Knicks, right? He had a really good season. Now, Julius Randle, everyone's not considering Julius Randle one of the top five players in the NBA, but he had a top five year, so Ja is definitely in that category where he's, like, knocking on the door. He plays the right position. It's a point guard-driven league. He's unstoppable getting downhill. I just love how he gets to the paint, hangs, waits for the rest of the NBA to land, and then he goes and lays it up, and he's always going on the way down as he lays it up. So that's kind of like his unstoppable shot, which I love as well. So, yeah, no question. Ja shot 36%, 37% from three. He's definitely in that conversation, you know. But obviously – it's hard to win the MVP, but if he's in that conversation, I think you do have to think of him as a most improved type of player.
Scott, let me ask you something. Since you've been on both sides of this now, and you're in your media, if you're dealing with an organization these days, and this, and we've seen where 85% of the players are vaccinated, right? We've had a local guy we all look to on Grizzlies, Chris Harrington. He writes for the Daily Memphian, bringing this point up, and I think it's one worth asking you about, definitely. Especially since you're media. For these organizations that ask the media, look, if you're going to come in here and interview our guys, we want to see a vaccination card on you. We want you to be vaccinated and all that stuff. But for the players, there is none of that for the media person who's going to do the interview, right? There is no, because well, obviously with the NBPA, the NBA, they're not going to agree on that, on having to be vaccinated. So as a media member, should we feel some kind of way about that? I know what I'm asking a guy that's been on both sides of this. What's the way to look at that?
Well, I think the difference is, so just look at it from this perspective. Now we can argue about this or we can agree or disagree on, you know, the whole like what is required, not required to do your job, the ADA rules and all that stuff. But let me just look at it this way. That player who is you're interviewing has just taken a test. You know what I mean?
True.
Like that.
A bunch of them, maybe, if he's unvaccinated, right? A bunch of tests.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's what you're saying. Like if you're vaccinated, then you're not obviously, you don't have to take a test any longer, but if you're not and you're doing that interview and you're on the grounds of the organization, then you have taken that test. So I don't know what they're doing. And listen, a lot of this is propaganda to get everyone, you know, moving and involved and vaccinated. And like that, like, you know, a lot of the medical experts would say, like, the way that we get out of this is everyone get vaccinated. So I think there's a lot of PR going on with NBA, NFL. They're making it very difficult for players that aren't vaccinated. So, but I do believe that they're, the players are being – like, if you don't get vaccinated and you're an NBA player, yeah, good luck, man, because you're taking tests, you're wearing masks.
Right.
Your life and today with social media, like, I mean, social media, they're going to find out who these unvaccinated players are. They're going to kill – they're going to, like, destroy them on social media. They're going to call them – they did that with the NFL players or you know, like, it's just a bad way for these players to live their life. But I do think the NBA is forcing this upon them. I do think eventually the players are going to be like, man, screw this. This is way too difficult, and they're going to end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that the players are extremely
– Scott, we still got you. Yeah. Was going to ask you on another point, and he was in the news again yesterday. I don't think he was referring to COVID, but, you know, he did have an interesting tweet about sort of mask off. And then there was a report that, if there's Kyrie trades, that some make sense, some don't. Kyrie's agents have made it known that Kyrie is simply going to retire from the NBA if Brooklyn were to trade him.
Wow.
I mean, where do you even start with Kyrie?
Hey, there's some empty threats out there. No one believes this one, right? Who's passing up on $120 million?
I mean, if anybody would do it, though, would it not be Kyrie?
No, man. That's too much. Even Kyrie.
No, I mean, 100. Okay, now, listen. If Kyrie was an actor that was making $20 million a movie and he's like, I'd rather do acting, then maybe. I don't know. Like, $40 million playing hoops.
Right.
And by the way, like a disinterested Kyrie gives you about 35 games a year. I mean, how much is he? You're talking about he making $1 million a game. Like, no one's turning that down. So I think the threat, which is an empty threat, using the word retirement, like the word. I wish he would at times. He's probably checked out. Kyrie will be checked out. Like, that's worse, right? Like, you wouldn't want Kyrie. You trade, let's use Portland. We were just talking about him. Dame Lillard, you get Kyrie, and Kyrie's checked out. Like, you don't want that. So
no.
I think there's some threats out there. I think that the most interesting thing about all this is he's not getting traded if Kevin Durant is not part of it. Like, you know, like Sean Marks is not trading Kyrie Irving mm-hmm. without consulting with Kevin Durant and James Harden.
Right.
So Kevin Durant's the best player in the game. James Harden has the ability to be the best player on the floor any given night. This is not happening unless, like, those guys sign off on it. I'm not even saying it's really happening or there's rumors, but if Kyrie gets traded, Kevin Durant has something to do. Had to have signed off for it.
Yeah, you're probably right. Hey, Scal, man, great stuff as always.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
brother.
The time, man.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Yep. This is Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA Insider. Call is always brought to you by BetQL. Yeah, it's funny because Nick Wright was the one who reported that, right? Nick Wright reported that if Kyrie Irving got traded, he would retire. Then Kyrie Irving came back to him I guess it was last night, and called him a puppet and sent him a puppet gif. And then Nick Wright responded and said, if you're saying you didn't say you'd retire, if you were traded, then your beef's with your representation, not with me, because you and I both know that's what they've told people. So what a weird career Kyrie has wound up having, you know? Like, there was a time where when you thought about Kyrie Irving, you thought about him as, like, the best ball handler in the NBA.
Who's
electrifying
his agent
to watch? Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
I have no clue.
Clearly not Rich Paul in the game.
I have absolutely no idea.
Here's something.
Rock Nation.
Yeah, reportedly parted ways with a long time Jeff Wessler too, and has plans to be represented by Rock Nation. So I guess he's with them now.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, July 29, 2021, but Kyrie, he's fired Rock Nation, I think they're saying now too.
Fired Rock Nation too?
Yeah.
That's not typically a good sign.
Well, he wouldn't have Rich Paul, him and Nick Wright wouldn't be going together if he had even looked into Rich Paul at this point. So we know he's not represented by Rich either.
That's right.
He's just a weird cat.
He wouldn't be going back at Nick.
I'm just saying, like, there was a time where when you thought about Kyrie Irving, you thought, like, just electrifying, amazing player. And now when you think about Kyrie Irving, you think about, like, he's off the cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, you do still think he's, like, one of the best one-on-one players. Again, when locked in. The problem is you get, you know.
Yeah.
You get Kyrie who's not locked in, not engaged.
You have to play.
It feels like for so much of the season, or hurt.
Somebody
but when
said,
he's locked in, let's be—I mean, nobody in the league can cover him.
I don't know
he's
who it
best
was.
He's one of the best one-on-one players in the league.
I saw somebody on Twitter make this point, and it is like it is kind of funny, but their point was that Kyrie Irving treats his basketball job like he's a cashier at PacSun.
It's true.
Know? Like, he just doesn't care that much about it. You know, he happens to be amazing at it, and he makes a lot of money. But the sort of carelessness that he has about the
yes.
job. I think it rubs people the wrong way. But he's just like, you know, this is what I do. I play basketball, but I have other issues.
And I think for me, it's more when he looks down on the rest of society as you are not as smart as me, or you meteor pawns or whatever that is. It's that more so, more than his weird, you know, he's an enigma. There's no question about it. But more than the outside the box thinking or decisions, it's that. It's when you start thinking you're better than everybody else that I think I've got – that he's rubbed them, and certainly that's where I have the issue with it. We've all got a part to play. Clearly he does too, but and yours being up there and paid the way you do doesn't make you any better than anybody else. The wheel, you need all those pieces for the wheel to go around. Kyrie seems to think it all revolves around him.
Yeah.
You know? So his apex.
NBA going to go on without you, bro.
His apex will be that championship with LeBron.
Oh,
that'll be it. Well, that'll be
he had some big shots.
There.
I mean, he helped get that ring.
That was him.
Like, and you earned that.
That's his apex.
He hit the biggest shot in that series.
It's like I've told y'all. He is not going to be successful and has not shown any kind of level of thinking to show that maybe he will, being the face, the guy of a franchise, the leader. You saw how in Boston, you're trying to do the Michael Jordan. Hey, everybody get along with me or else you're gone. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. It rubbed everybody the wrong way. He has not shown that he can be that. And look, he may not be looking to be that at this point in his career. You know, he will not be the guy. That was still LeBron's team.
Well, yeah. And
it didn't work for him as the guy in Boston.
He's missed LeBron.
And now it's given you're back to sort of what you had with LeBron and being able to defer to KD. It's his squad.
Yeah.
Well, and he sort of rejected
that's
that.
That's just what he is.
He rejected that LeBron mentoring relationship, if you recall.
He's just not a leader, man.
We're cool now.
He went with it in the beginning of his career, and it was the best thing that ever happened
to
him. You know, because it yielded a championship.
Right. He thought there was a natural handoff, though, or inherent of leadership.
Right.
Once he parted ways with LeBron, that he becomes that.
Right.
And you have to earn that.
You got to earn that.
Yeah.
And he hasn't.
Well, people don't look at him the way they look at LeBron.
No.
They just don't. Like, LeBron commands a certain level of respect that Kyrie simply just doesn't. People think Kyrie Irving is a lunatic. And he might be. I mean, he just might be. Like, LeBron sets that tone. And I think it was a good thing for Kyrie's career. I'm not saying this that he deserved to be asked, you know. That somebody asked him someday, like, what's it like having LeBron as a parental figure?
Well, he didn't like that.
Well, what a stupid question.
Yeah.
What kind of question is that?
It's kind of...
LeBron's your daddy? How's that feel?
Well, he rejected the whole LeBron mentoring relationship. And
well,
then he had
I think that's a big reason why, because, like, you know, so I think I legitimately think somebody asked, what's it like to have LeBron as a father figure? Like, what? What are you talking about?
I mean,
they were just looking to get a reaction out of the whole
thing.
That's exactly right.
question, though. Like, I would consider taking that person's credentials. You know,
he's a great actor.
Guillermo
Uncle
from
Drew.
Jimmy Kimmel could ask a question like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not a legitimate reporter.
Imagine if Kyrie were normal, balanced, and didn't have these sit-out moments. How, like, to your point, Jason, that dude can ball when
well,
he's right.
I mean, he does it anyway, right? I mean, I think he would certainly have a chance to have more championships than he's got right now.
Oh, man, he's a good player right. When he's right, he
dude,
is
dude, if they
good.
Didn't get hurt, they would have gotten through the Bucks. They'd been fine.
That's it.
Impossible to know.
Because, again, he's not the guy on that team, but he's still there and capable of taking over when they need him to.
Yep.
But, again, you got he has to have that.
That's what, like, that's
that
A1,
and,
what
and has, for now it's Kevin Durant.
I mean, that's what has to give you pause about this upcoming NBA season because, like, you don't, it's not just about injury, but it's like, is Kyrie Irving going to be on an RV tour across the country? Like, is he even going to be on the team?
You brought up that, set aside, because I wanted to ask you a follow-up on something you asked Cal. Ja Morant being on that list,
yep.
It'd have to be a hell of a jump, right? I don't think of Ja Morant as having the kind of season last year.
Bro, he averaged 18 a game. If he is the
I could see Jaren Jackson
100%
being that guy most
yes.
improved, but Ja, I mean, like it's been a sort of a natural progression. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're not going from ish to shine all no. of a sudden. You were already shining.
I mean, like I said,
you've
shined your
first 2 years.
If Ja improves that much, he'll be running for MVP.
No question.
You know, because he'll be averaging 24 to 25 points a game.
Right.
You know,
to be most improved player, that'd be a hell of a high level.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ask him to be the most improved player.
It was strange to me that he was in on that list.
Right, because the bar is already so high.
Jaren makes all the sense in the world, but him being on that list didn't make much sense to me because the bar was
not
high already.
No, I totally agree. But he was on the list. He was on the list along with Jaren.
Yeah.
The leader, which also kind of
Taylor Jenkins was on the list for Coach of the Year. I think he was like fifth or somewhere around there.
The leader for most improved player this year is Michael Porter Jr., which, again, like, isn't he already sort of considered pretty good in the NBA circles? Like,
he didn't play in defense. That was that's the knock on him right now. And he was making bad decisions.
I don't know. I think Jaren makes a lot of sense.
I hear what you're saying, though, that the bar is already, especially offensively.
Jaren makes a lot of sense because I think his reputation took a pretty big hit last year because of the injury. So if he comes out, he just, you know, and he does what he did, you know, 2 years ago and shoots 40%+ from three and averages 18 points a game. It's his award to lose, you know. So I think he's got a great chance to win it because that bar is not very high for him right now.
They got Taylor Jenkins above Monty Williams, Steve Kerr, Frank Vogel.
Wow.
Carlisle and Nate McMillan.
Well, if that happens.
Got him fifth behind Spoelstra. Spoelstra is always high on these lists.
Yes, he is.
Nash, Ime Udoka, who's the new coach in Boston, then Quinn Snyder.
Yep. Well,
if
Taylor Jenkins wins Coach of the Year, it'll be
a good year.
A big reason why will be like what happens with Steven Adams. Like you figured that out somehow, and it worked out pretty well.
Well, Jaren also played a full season healthy and stepped up, and especially offensively that big man role.
And Steven Adams talked about being with the Grizzlies. First public comments that I've seen from him, and we'll get to those when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.